You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage. I'm talking with the CEO of United Financial Bancorp, Bill Crawford. Bill, this is a question I like to ask a lot of the guests that come on my show. What are your clients worried about, and what are they asking you about?
Andy, I think the biggest thing that that our clients see is, you know, how are we going to get this country growing again? Mm. That's really the question. And I think they really want to see our leaders in Washington get focused on that issue. You know, I understand income inequality, and there's work that needs to be done there, and, you know, and there is a lot of work that needs to be done there. That said, that's really a discussion of, you know, how do we divide up the pie we have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps a more a better way to move the needle is to think about how might the U.S. become an energy powerhouse globally? You know, you just think of all the benefits there, and we need some kind of catalyst like that to really help us reach this escape velocity, because we're fighting some very big demographic trends in the West, if you think about it. You know, that we've aging populations that have really passed a lot of their peak spending.
Sure.
And so we've got that. We've got deleveraging going on from the financial crisis. And so there's very strong deflationary forces out there. We're trying to fight it with QE. But at this point, I don't know that's terribly effective. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, what your friend Larry Kudlow likes to talk about, free market capitalism being the pathway to prosperity.
That's right. You know, and the thing is, it's difficult in this environment because the growth that we've had from 2007, from the great financial crisis, obviously, from 2007 to 2008 has been so slow and uneven. And clearly, there are sectors of the economy that truly haven't healed, obviously housing being one of them. So it's encouraging to hear you talk about mortgage lending and your role in that and being able to do and bring people to be able to buy homes, because that's one of the sectors that is underperformed. And clearly, when you cut interest rates, that's the one thing that you expect to pick up quickly is housing, but it hasn't. So this does beg the bigger question. It's like, what can we do as a nation to really move forward the economy? You mentioned energy and income inequality, and I think those are two things that are really interesting, because the energy situation in the United States is spectacular. Now, yes, there are problems with fracking, no doubt about it, but the beneficiaries are the people in the country, and this is generating job growth. This really, you know, the best thing to help with income inequality is getting people jobs. So I guess the question back to you, you know, from your perch or where you sit at, you know, and at a major financial regional institution, what do you see that can be done along these lines? How do you see businesses, how can we help them the most? What would be the best thing that you could see happening?
I just think we have to be careful laying on a lot of the additional regulatory burden mm-hmm. on all businesses. We need to give a lot of thought to that.
Right. Do no harm first, right?
Exactly. I mean, if you think about, you know, government's real job, I think, is to make sure we have free, fair, transparent markets, and then let them function. You know, because I'm always amazed when I go out and call on business owners. I'm just amazed at the talent, the intellect, their ability. And you know, we participate obviously with lots of companies that are starting up, so people leaving the workforce to start their own business.
Really? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and I mean, you just see there's just amazing stories there. And, you know, how we focus on that group and help them figure out how to make that transition and continue to become successful is so important. I mean, I absolutely believe we're the greatest country in the world, probably in history. You know, we have the deepest capital markets, the best rule of law. But we got to be careful not to rest on our laurels. And I kind of feel like as a country, we might have lost our swagger a little bit. And we need to get everybody engaged in the political process, whether you're Democrat or Republican or whatever, and really understand these issues and have, you know, real transparent conversations with your congressman. I know that, you know, the Congress people in our area, they reach out, they want to hear what's going on, and, you know, we're appreciative. But I think everybody's really got to get involved on this.
Yeah, and that's what elections are all about. And oddly enough, there's one at the end of the year. So I hope... And I say on the show all the time, my one big issue, major issue, is tax reform, and specifically corporate tax reform. And I hope that becomes an issue that starts to snowball as we get past these elections into the 2016 elections, because it's clearly not going to get resolved, and it takes a while to get going. But let me just kind of switch gears a little bit on this, because I always like to help people understand how successful people like yourself overcome obstacles. And one of the biggest obstacles that you clearly had to overcome was the polar vortex in January, February, and March in the Northeast, obviously in the Midwest as well out here. But that must have affected your business and your clients' businesses. How did you handle that situation?
Andy, that's really interesting. I grew up in Virginia and then spent a lot of time in North Carolina. And so I've been in New England for about 3.5 years. And these folks, the mayors and the governors there, have figured out snow removal.
That's
really incredible how good they are at it. I think what happened with that polar vortex, I think the cities that aren't used to getting snow, like Virginia Beach or Washington, D.C., and just wouldn't have those sorts of resources, I think they struggled the most. We actually at United had a good quarter, a good first quarter in loans, and we were kind of surprised by it. But, you know, the New Englanders, I think they figured out snow removal, so I'm very blessed. It wasn't anything I did.
Well, true, but there are businesses like trucking companies that ran into problems because if they were using some biofuels, they kind of shut down. And a lot of these trucking companies and transportation struggled. Did you see any uptick in people wanting to have extended credit lines, or did you see an opportunity there to help people out? I'm not just saying in trucking and transportation, but overall.
We always work with our customers. We certainly had, some customers who would have been affected by this. And, we always try to work with those folks. But, I think it's going to be, I think this polar vortex, it just hit so much of the nation this year that wasn't used to snow, that I think that was really the problem. But it's going to be interesting to see how the numbers respond coming out in Q2, Q3.
Yeah, I think it's encouraging, and you mentioned that you saw a pickup in loan demand through that first quarter, and I think that's encouraging because, as we all know, that's high-powered, high-velocity money that runs around the economy and generates economic growth. So the fact that you were seeing that during the polar vortex is really great. One thing I got to ask you about is, the Federal Reserve, obviously this is really important for the entire country and the shift in what they're trying to do as they move away from quantitative easing. You know, what are banks trying to do, with their money right now to adjust to a world without these extraordinary measures?
Andy, that's a great question. You're trying to do sort of pick the least worst option.
least worst. Yeah, that sounds like my children, actually. No, go ahead.
Yeah. It's, we have to be very careful with duration or extension risk on our assets.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to avoid the temptation to chase yield, because what happens is, it looks like we're kind of in this low for long environment, and so all your earning assets reprice lower. Cost of funds can't go any lower. I mean, look at what we pay on CDs and money markets. It's it's a rounding error.
Yeah.
And so what you end up with is you just have to be careful that you don't chase yield on the credit side or the extension risk side, because at some point these rates could go up pretty quickly and pretty dramatically if they return back to the mean. And that could really be the next crisis if we're not careful.
No doubt. You obviously must be doing a good job, because all of the analysts that cover UBNK all have buy ratings on the stock. Why do they like you, Bill?
I think they've spent a lot of time getting to know our management team, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I do think they like the merger of equals. I think they felt that the dilution to tangible book we took was reasonable for the earnings accretion. The payback is reasonable, and sort of like I talked about before, just on the cost saves alone, if you take $18 million pre-tax and tax affected, that's $13 million times 13 PDE. So we create about $170 million of shareholder value just on the cost save side. So when you put all that together, we end up with a stronger return on equity, and that's really the more you can improve your return on equity in the banking business, the better valuation you're going to get. And that's what we're focused on, leveraging our capital responsibly and getting a much better valuation in terms of price to tangible book.
Where do you want this company to be in 3 to 5 years? Because the regulatory environment is obviously still in flux, but it continues to be a major cost for financial institutions, and financial institution stocks have generally been beaten down. So with that in mind, that's kind of a, here we go. But the question really remains, you know, where do you want to be in 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, I think the key, it's all about execution. And so we really balance all of our constituencies. We build a business around customers, employees, communities, and shareholders, and you have to balance all those constituencies all the time. And so we want to be the best at executing at that. And if we do that, I think we continue to grow organically and show very nice top-line revenue growth, earnings per share growth. And then, like I said before, we have other banks that we hopefully will have the opportunity to partner with in a responsible way. And so I think being able to take business from the big banks and being able to consolidate smaller banks as we go forward in time gives us an opportunity to really build something special in New England. And that's what we're focused on. We've got a very long-term view. I used to work for a guy named Wallace Malone. He had a company called South Trust. And, you know, he took this company from a $20 million market cap to $14 billion. Now, that was over 43 years. I'm 48 years old, so I don't have that time horizon. but I did get to watch him his last 6 or 7. And, you know, banking's business has been around forever. The thing about it is it's going to change a whole lot. And you've got to have the team willing to figure out how to change. And as long as we can, you know, continue to be the best for customers, we want to keep creating shareholder value.
Bill, that's fantastic. Well, it sounds like you're on the right path. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Andy, thank you so much for having me and your interest in our company, and wish you a terrific day.
Okay, no doubt. All right, we've been speaking with Bill Crawford, CEO of United Financial Bancorp. When we get back, we'll bring on Art Hogan of Wunderlich Securities to help us make sense of what is happening in the markets. This is Engage.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
When money and tech come together, it can make for a harmonious or detrimental relationship. On Media and Your Money, host Jason Steele will show you how streaming media can work for you to help you accomplish your financial goals, both short-term and long-term. Do you have a plan for investment opportunities? How is college planning going for your kids? Is your retirement strategy working for you? Listen for Media and Your Money, Thursdays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Business.
Do you, like most Americans, spend the majority of your life at work? Are you making it the joy that it deserves to be, or are you feeling drained and unfocused? Tune in to A Great Place to Work with hosts Kurt Kaufman and Dr. Kathy Sorensen. Your hosts have more than 30 years of experience in workplace consulting and are ready to bring you the secrets and success stories of businesses who are making their business a great place to work. Listen every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and enjoy a better workplace and a better life.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.